We also just want to highlight, there's an Ash Wednesday service. It's from 6 to 7 p.m. Now, it begins at 6, but you can come in anytime you would like to between 6 and 7, and we'll have different stations set up that you can interact in prayer with your Heavenly Father while doing an object lesson to get to know Him deeper. So March 1st on Wednesday, this Wednesday from 6 to 7, drop in. If you're going to come after 6, just kind of come quietly and enter into one of the prayer rooms, and there'll be a prayer guide there to lead you through that special time. We want to highlight today is also the deadline to order subs. If you didn't order subs yet and you're interested in doing so, the Narthex table has an order form, and those will be ready for pickup on March 9th. So those are the announcements I have this morning. Are there any other announcements you'd like to highlight? Let's rise and greet one another. Welcome one another to Little Swatara this morning, and we'll have our call to worship. Our call to worship this morning is on the screen as well as found in your bulletin. Father God, we come seeking you in our worship. We pray for strength, peace, and wisdom. Let us worship with all we have, all we are, and all you have made us to be.
Thank you.
We know this morning that love gives, love receives, but most importantly, love never fails. So we invite you this morning to share in any joys or concerns that you may have. There'll be a microphone coming around. But as always, keep your bulletin handy with the prayer concerns listed therein and pray for those individuals as well as many others that are upon our hearts this morning.
I have a joy. It's a joy to be back in this sanctuary.
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. We love you, Ruth.
Daughter of a friend of mine, her name's Pam, was taken to the hospital last week with pneumonia, and now she's on life support. So we don't know what happened, what made her worse, but she's in the York Hospital. They flew her to York, so okay. Just pray for Pam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Seen the weather reports from yesterday, but down in Lancaster County, we got now, I think, worse than you guys got it up here. But there are many people down there with damage to their homes, roofs blown off. So we want to keep those people in our minds and our prayers. And we're just thankful, anybody that's seen our house has seen the 100-foot pine tree in our backyard that's about 20 feet from the house. Lightning got it at 4 o'clock yesterday. The only damage to our house is a dead TV, so we're very fortunate.
Oh, thank you, God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much this morning. We love you every day of our lives, and we just want that love to be upon our lips every moment of every day. We just want to serve you. We want to be obedient to you and surrender to your will in our lives. And Father, we know that your love is evident in this place, and we're just so thankful for the way we care for one another, we support one another, and uplift one another. And we pray we would just continue to do so in Jesus' name, and how thankful we are this morning to have Ruth with us, and just continue to bless her, Father, continue to uplift her and protect her, Father, and most importantly, Father, if it be your will to bring healing to her. And we just thank you, Father, that you are the master physician. We pray, Father, for those that have suffered damage to their homes as the result of the storm yesterday. And Father, as a community, I pray as we work hand in hand together, if there's someone that needs help, we would be willing to lend that helping hand in love and serving you. And just again, Father, we just want to love. We want to be able to show that love in practical ways. We think, Father, of others on our prayer concerns that are suffering from various illnesses. And Father, we know that you enter into those illnesses and you provide what we need. And Father, we just come to you and ask for a blessing and for your healing upon Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Carol and Pete and Bonnie and Lauren and our dear sister Lugva, who's being held in captivity by the Boko Haram. We pray for her safety, but Father, we also pray for her release and the other sisters in the Church of the Brethren that are being held in captivity and ask for your to safety and your protection over them. But Father, we pray for our enemy. We pray for the Boko Haram and just the evil that they've been doing, that you would bring peace to that situation. And we also just lift up Pam this morning, who's on life support. And Father, you hold her hands. You hold each of our lives in your hands. And we're just praying that you would be with Pam, especially this morning as she's on life support. And if it be your will, you would allow healing to take place over her. But Father, we just ask your will to be accomplished in every single life that is represented here this morning. You know, it's exactly what we're going through right now. You know the joys that we have. You know the concerns that we have. And Father, we're just turning to you and just asking you to move in our midst, to allow us to seek you. And most importantly, Father, as you wish for us to do, to be able to find you. And so we have discovered the way you love us through your son, Jesus, and we're just so thankful for his death on the cross and that empty tomb, knowing that eternal life is before us, and we live this life surrendered and obedient to you, knowing every action we do, every word we say is reflective of that relationship with your son, Jesus, and we just pray we would shine brightly day in and day out, and we just now, Father, come before you. We know we've sinned, we know we've made mistakes, we've erred, and we're just coming and just surrendering those sins to you and asking your forgiveness during these next few moments of silent prayer, as well as those prayers upon our hearts. Father, we pray that you would give us courage, you would give us strength, you would give us encouragement as we find in your scripture, verse after verse, that edifies us and lifts us up and reminds us of just how dearly loved we are as your children. And we pray we would live in light of that, knowing just how loved we are. And we just pray, Father, that love would go forth and it would never fail, because we know as we lean on your everlasting arms that that love is genuine and authentic. And we just pray we would be those type of followers of Christ, that others would come to know you through our love, for we're defined by that. And just help us in those situations that are difficult right now, where relationships are struggling, marriages are struggling, where we're not seeing eye to eye with someone. Father, just help reconciliation to take place. And we know your forgiveness that you offered through the cross, nothing compares to that. So let us be helped to forgive one another, Father. And we just pray for the remainder of this service that you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've learned that giving is a major part of the Christian life, and as we strive to emulate the example of God who gave extensively, miraculously, unconditionally, including his own flesh and blood, here is perhaps the overlooked element of Christian giving. Before we even give a dime, we must first give our heart. This is what God wants most from us. Working on ourselves before working from our wallets is perhaps one of the most important concepts to giving sacrificially. Father, we come before you. You know our hearts. You know the lives that we lead. You know the representation of your Son that we put forth. And we're praying, Father, from our heart would overflow our offering. And we know, Father, the sacrifice of your Son. And we give out of that cheerfulness, knowing the joy of our salvation. And we just praise you, Father, in this offering this morning and ask that you would be glorified. And it's in your Son's most precious name. Amen.
Thank you. moms this morning. Good job. Hey, Ansley. Oh, your sister's. Morning. Well, here we are. It's the end of February. Who would have believed it was February this week? Anybody have shorts on? Anybody have shorts on this week? Short sleeve shirts, I know. Yeah. It was a pretty, pretty warm week. I thought we were in California. But here we are again. When I was driving to church early this morning, maybe you were still sleeping, I saw a few of these on my way. Snowflakes, what we should be having in February. Graham, do you want to help me pass one out to everybody? Would you see that everybody gets one of these?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Here, Ansley. Do you know that when it snows, all the snowflakes that happen, there's about a gazillion snowflakes that fall, and do you know no two of them are alike?
No.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
You did?
Because I can see that they're all different. What? Up on that board.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. You're right. Look at them. They're like crystals, and no two are the same. I find that just amazing. You know what else is amazing? No two people are the same. God created you to be who you are. If I tried to rebend these snowflakes, if I did one, do you need more? If I tried to do another one, if I did it and I said, ooh, I like how that looked, and tried to redo another one, you know I could never do it because my scissor just wouldn't go the right way. It just wouldn't make it. Perfect. Thanks so much. Sure. That's how God made you. He had a special plan for you to make you uniquely you, filled with His love and ready to do what He has planned for you. I think, do you ever know twins? Do you ever know anybody who was a twin? Even if they look the same, they're really not the same. They have the same mom and dad. They look the same. They act the same. But deep down inside, God gave us all a unique quality of something He has ready for you in His life. So you may wonder why I do this, why I feel this way, why I look this way, why I act this way. Someday, God will reveal exactly what His plan is for you. And believe me, it's very special. God doesn't make mistakes. Somewhere down the line, He's going to use your unique qualities to make a big difference for Him. So I'd like you to take these snowflakes, put it in your Bible, put it in your nightstand next to your bed, and pull it out every once in a while and look at them and remember that God has a special plan for you to do something special for His kingdom. Okay? All right, thanks for coming forward. Remember, you're very special.
Five seventeen.
Thank you.
There's certain days in our lives that we seem to remember more than others. And as a teenager in the middle school, there's certain days you'd rather not remember. The morning started off with a lot of ice on our sidewalk, and as the teenage son, it was my job to scrape that ice. Well, that morning I didn't do all so well with scraping ice, and my mother was taking me to school that day because I had missed the bus. And so there we were taking our first step onto the sidewalk, and my mother fell, landing on her leg. And you can hear the crack even now as her leg snapped behind her. Quickly, she informed me to call 911, which I did so. And as the ambulance was on its way, it was also raining, sleeting, if you will, that day. So I thought, out of love, I should grab an umbrella. Well, I was too concerned with when and how I was going to get to school that I didn't exactly place the umbrella over top of my mother the way it should have been positioned. Rather than the umbrella protecting her from the rain, the umbrella had drips of sleet and freezing rain falling upon her face. But in that much pain, she didn't say a word. She knew, as her teenage son, I had good intentions. That day continued, and it became a rather exciting day because in the snow, if you're familiar with sports cars, they usually don't go all that well. Well, after the ambulance picked up my mother and took her to the hospital, I was a bit beside myself, and a Firebird pulled up behind the ambulance to take me to school. And let's just say that was one of the most thrilling rides I've ever had to school in my entire life. But as I arrived, the counselors called me into the office and said, "You can sit here for a while. I know your day has been quite overwhelming already." And so I sat there and took in what all happened that morning already and didn't realize what the rest of the day had in store. It probably would have been best just to stay home that day. But on the lunch calendar, it said it was French bread pizza. Anyone a fan of French bread pizza here this morning? I love French bread pizza, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go to school anyway and enjoy at least lunch. So the time for lunch came, and I went to the lunchroom, and as you grab your tray, you put your French bread pizza on your tray, you put your fruit on your tray, you put your Jell-O, your milk box, and whatever else they're offering that morning to put on your tray, and then you're supposed to take it and carry it to your table. Well, this was a day I'll never soon forget. The one and only time this happened, my tray somehow stumbled out of my hands and ended up scattered all over the lunchroom floor. Now, mind you, we're talking about teenagers in middle school. No one was quick to jump out of their chair and help me. Instead, they decided to laugh and to point fingers. And so there I was, humiliated, not only having an unknown diagnosis of my mother, but now facing this mess in front of me on the lunchroom floor. So you can imagine my heart was racing, tears were beginning to form in my eyes, and I stooped down and began to pick up my French bread pizza, which I considered eating, but then I remembered how filthy teenagers are and decided maybe that's not such a good idea, and there were hands next to mine. Now, I was looking down the entire time, focused on what I was doing, because at this point, everyone's still laughing around me. So I'm picking up my items off of the floor, putting them onto my tray, and I noticed these other hands, and they were grown-up hands, and I looked over and took to heart that it was a teacher I'd never had before. So I'm going to give a shout-out to teachers this morning who go above and beyond to help students, especially those awkward teenagers like myself during that time who dropped my tray. Now, you would think, wasn't that enough for this teenager to go through in one day? And I would hope you'd say, yes, that was enough. But it didn't end there. At the end of the day, one of my loving friends decided that they wanted to check in on me, make sure I was okay. Well, it was also hunting season, so he was sharing his story of his deer kill that he had. And lo and behold, I was supposed to ride the bus home that day because, obviously, my mom was in the hospital. Well, he talked long enough that we didn't make the bus that day. And like any teenager who watched MacGyver during the time, you felt you could conquer anything and you could make your way back home. Well, we live several miles from the school, and I really am not all that great with directions. Just ask my wife, Denise, and she'll tell you that. So I begin my journey in the freezing cold, not wearing a jacket like I normally don't do on cold days. And so I'm walking home, and a car pulls up in front of me. Now, any kid here has probably been taught stranger danger. So as this car pulls up in front of me, I immediately turn around and start going the other direction. And so as I'm walking the other direction, I hear the car door shut. And I think to myself, oh, goodness, there's so many news reports of kids being, you know, kidnapped and all these things that were going through my mind. And suddenly I hear Matthew. And I'm thinking, okay, there's only two people in the world that call me Matthew, and it's my mother or it's a teacher. And so I turn around, and lo and behold, there was another loving teacher, not the one that helped me pick up my tray during school, but another loving teacher who said, Matthew, would you like a ride home? And I said, sure, I would very much appreciate that. And it ended up being my art teacher who I didn't satisfy all that well with my artwork, but I'm glad many of you have that gift, because if we were depending on me, that would be very, very bad. So she took me home, and normally I have my key in my pocket. And that day, I don't know what happened. My key either got lost at school, but the key was not there. So she's dropped me off, and she's already left. And there I am. It's still freezing cold outside, sitting on the front step, waiting for one of my parents to get home, which I knew wouldn't be my mother. And my father worked away out of town a lot. So we just sat there for a very long time before someone was able to get home and open the door for me. But that would be what you would consider a bad day, right? You would think, wow, what else could possibly happen to this teenage boy in his life? And so today, as we continue to talk about love always, it's our final sermon on that series, we say the words, love never fails. And as I look at that day, I could have easily said, you know what? Love failed me that day. But if I really took the time to consider what was happening in that day, love actually showed up. So our challenge this morning, as we continue to walk out our faith and we continue to see where God's love is pouring out into us, I'd encourage us to take what I'm going to call a pause, or take a moment in this afternoon to see where God has been at work, where his love has shown up. And for many of us, we're in the midst of trials, we're in the midst of suffering, we're in the midst of something that really doesn't feel like God's love's there. But if we take that time and we say, God, just reveal to me, show me where your love is at work, I can guarantee, I can almost promise you that God's going to show his love to you in some really incredible way. But sometimes I think what happens is we go through life and we kind of take everything in stride. We realize, you know, this is going to be an okay day. This is going to be a not so okay day. And we just go in stride. We take it as it comes. But I think God is asking us, he's calling upon us to take a moment and just look at him and who he is, what he's done for us. And when we do that, we start to gain this perspective. Now, I don't want us to just gain any type of perspective. I want us to gain a love perspective. And as we've been speaking in weeks past, we know that that love perspective comes from the cross. We have to continually remind ourselves day in and day out, no matter what we face, love has been unconditionally, that means without condition, no strings attached. It's not, if you do this, I'll love you, or when you do this, I'll love you. It's, I love you because I love you, and I'm willing to love you despite who you are. And some of us can look in our lives and we can realize, you know, I haven't always been the most faithful follower of Jesus. But Jesus says from that cross, you know, I still love you. But what the enemy wants to do is fill us with guilt. He wants to fill us with shame. And as long as the enemy can keep us in guilt, the enemy can keep us in shame, we're not always going to see clearly God's love for us through his son. But when we do, we're going to begin to see our lives transformed in ways that we've never seen before. Because as we recognize, as our scripture will clearly say, love never fails. You know, there's a lot of things in life that do fail. We see marriages that end in divorce. We see cars that we counted on for years and suddenly they fail us. We see food items that we've been able to eat our entire lives, and suddenly, because of gluten or whatever it may be, we can't eat those foods anymore. When we look at the world, we look at people around us, there's always going to be a level of failing that occurs. But our goal, as we look at Christ and we look at the cross and remind ourselves that love never fails in the perspective of Jesus' death and resurrection, we start to see other people in a new light. And we start to realize, you know, Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus paid the price for you. And there's no one left out of that equation. And so when we begin to put conditions on loving others, we're really not using that love perspective found at the cross. Now, if we had an orange here this morning, if you squeeze that orange, you're going to get a particular type of juice out of that orange, right? It's going to be orange juice. Some of us like it with pulp, some of us don't. If we take a lemon, like we saw in a children's moment, which we thank Judy for her children's moment week in and week out during February, that is very incredible what she's done. You take a lemon and squeeze it, you're going to get not quite lemonade. You need to add some sugar. But think about the different things in life that you can squeeze and what you're going to get out of them. But now what I want you to do is to look at the Christian life. Look at the person next to you. They claim to be a follower of Christ. If you were to, and I don't encourage you to do this, please don't, but if you were to squeeze that person, what should flow out of them if they're claiming to be a Christian? Love. Absolutely. So as you walk through this life, think about those illustrations as you squeeze an orange and orange juice comes out. You squeeze a lemon and you get the lemon juice. Think of yourself as a Christian. If someone were to come up and just squeeze me, is love coming forth from me? Or do we see roots of bitterness? Or is there anger? Or is there jealousy? Or is there coveting things that we shouldn't covet? If we can be characterized by love, the world is going to know that we are Christians. It's one of the most basic theological understandings of following Christ that we could ever have. But as we turn to our scripture this morning, which we're still in 1 Corinthians 13, we finished up to verse 4 last week. We're now finding ourselves in verse 5. It says, love, it is not rude. Now, many of us can probably go back in our day even, or back in our week, and we can probably find a person that was rather rude. And sometimes it happens when we're at a restaurant and our waiter is not having the greatest of days, and they may come across rude, or a cashier. Or rude is something we encounter a lot of times. But if we're going to be followers of Jesus, being rude is not something that can characterize who we are. It also goes on in verse 5 and says, it's not self-seeking. One of the characteristics that the world points towards everyone encompassing is that we are a selfish people. And what that means, if we're selfish, that means we think of ourselves first before we think of someone else. So as you continue to picture someone squeezing you and love pouring out, think of the ways that you can serve one another. And in serving one another, what you're actually doing is loving them well. But oftentimes it comes to us, me, myself, and I. What do I need to do to satisfy my desires before I can look to anyone else? But start to take this to heart and turn it towards the other person. And look towards that person and say, how might I serve that person today? You may be aware of something happening in their lives, and you could send a card, you could visit, you could give a phone call. There's yards that are going to be mowed. There's a plethora of ways that you could be able to serve somebody. And in doing so, you're showing God's love in a real, tangible, practical way. So just encourage you, take the focus off of ourselves and look to others and see ways that you can help to serve and love one another. It goes on and it says, it is not easily angered. Statistics are telling us anger is one of the most common traits of people today. We get angry over all sorts of things. If we go to a restaurant and we order a plate of fries and the fries come out cold, the waitress is probably going to get an earful. Why are my fries cold? I want hot fries. Or anger could be in a relationship where someone disagrees with what we're saying. And so anger comes forth in a variety of ways. But if we're going to be that Christian when others squeeze us and love is going to come forth, anger cannot be a part of us. And it's very important before the sun goes down on a day, as Ephesians say, not to let anger continue, especially for you married couples. If there's something you need to talk about, be sure to talk about it before you go to sleep that night. Because resolving conflict, resolving anger, isn't only going to help you sleep better, it's also going to help you live a better life filled with Jesus' love. It goes on in it continues in verse 5. It keeps no record of wrongs. Wow, am I guilty of this one? When Denise decides she's going to do something I'm not very well pleased with, my first gut reaction is to bring up things from the past that she's done. And so that's not fair to her, that's not fair to me, that's not fair to God. We need to keep no record of wrongs. There was a church sign, it says, if you want to get revenge, let it go. And I thought to myself, wow, if you want to get revenge, let it go. And so many times in our lives, we harbor those feelings of distrust or those feelings of hatred towards one another because of something that's happened in the past. And it's a new day. It's a brand new day that we can forgive and we can move on in Jesus' love. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And we recognize the truth here being Jesus himself. Jesus is the truth. Truth will always prevail. It's always interesting as children are growing up, they like to tell little white lies, and those little white lies build on another little white lie. And the truth, when it's finally told, is much easier to handle as a parent because we know the situation, what exactly has happened, and we can move forward. So as children here this morning, be sure to always be filtering your words with the truth. Because evil is always knocking at our door, always trying to find ways to trick us, to say things we shouldn't say, to act in ways we shouldn't act. And we see, as many comment on Facebook, the evilness of the world is becoming more and more. But Christians, we're characterized by love, and truth can be rejoicing, even in these times. And then verse 7, it always protects. You think of your loved ones, you think of your children. You think of your best friend. You do what you have to do to protect them. So love always protects. It always trusts. Trust is one of those things that sometimes is difficult to do, especially when someone's told you lie after lie, but do as we may in Jesus' love to always trust. That's what love does. And it always hopes and always perseveres. One of the things in strained relationships is being able to persevere, to be able to carry forward despite the challenges you face in that relationship. But what love does when we're focused on it and centered on it, it gives hope and it also helps you to carry through, to be able to persevere and get through that difficult situation. And then this morning, as our final word in verse 8a, it says, love never fails. And I'm sure there's some of us here this morning that you're like, you know, I'm not sure I can agree with that. If you would know what's happened in my life, if you would know some of the difficulties I've faced, I can say love has failed. But when we're speaking in context of an unconditional love, a love that put Jesus, God's only Son, on the cross, when we speak in those terms of love, that love is never going to fail us. And the more we live in the likeness of Christ, the more we try to share love with others, the more we're going to realize that it is indeed never failing. So let's pray. Father, we know there are struggles that happen in our lives. We know there are things that we think love is failing us. But Father, when we look at it through the worldly lens, it would be true. But Father, we're gaining an eternal perspective this morning. We're looking at the cross and the love that was demonstrated there. And we know that that love never fails. It gives us hope. It perseveres through this life. So Father, I pray for these people before me. Whatever it is they're dealing with, whatever they're facing, may they cling to that love that Jesus poured out. May they know that that love will never fail. And may we be ever diligent in being the type of follower of Christ that when others see us, love goes forth and pours out from our very being. Help us to be mindful of those things in our lives and others' lives that we might show love in practical ways. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified as we seek you and we find you and we demonstrate you in this life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join in singing Shine, Jesus, Shine. The words are on the screen.
May we love always, and may we recognize that love is never failing. May we let Jesus' love shine through us. May we show compassion. May we show mercy. May we show kindness with patience with one another. May his will be done in each of your lives as his love pours forth into you. Amen.